Ana, por favor, salude a este hombre que fue asesor del primer ministro Ehud Olmert, quien estuvo en estos micrófonos. El señor Mizrahi nos atiende a esta hora. Ha dicho el señor Blinken que es ahora o nunca, que esta es la última oportunidad para un cese al fuego en Gaza. ¿El qué piensa de esa afirmación del señor Blinken?
Good morning, Mr. Mizrahi. Thank you very much for your time today at W Radio.
Thank you.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken has said that this is the last chance that Israel has for a ceasefire. What do you believe of this? Do you really think this is the last chance?
It's not the last chance for Israel only. He mentioned that it's the last chance for both sides, not only for Israel. The fact today is that Israel agreed to the American offer, but Hamas already said that they are not. So I am not sure that that this is the last chance. Although the Americans are pressing very hard, but as I said, as far as I understood, Israel accepted the American offer, while the Hamas is not.
Dice que no es la última oportunidad solo para Israel, sino para ambos lados. Dice que Israel aceptó la oferta estadounidense. Hamas, por su parte, dijo que no. No está seguro de que esta sea la última oportunidad, aunque Estados Unidos está presionando bastante fuerte. Y como ya nos dijo, y como él entendió, Israel aceptó la oferta, mientras que Hamas la rechazó.
Ana, yo quisiera preguntarle a nuestro amable invitado que maneja la inteligencia, ¿cómo se puede avanzar en una conversación cuando los señores de Hamas tienen en su poder ciudadanos de Israel? No sabemos ni cuántos, ni en qué condiciones, pero ellos siguen con unas personas secuestradas, no sabemos en qué situación. Sin esa liberación, sin ese condicionamiento, ¿es posible que haya un acuerdo de paz?
How can conversations keep going? How can we expect that a ceasefire happens when Hamas still has citizens of Israel in their under their power? Nobody knows how many citizens, nobody knows which of those are alive or dead. How can conversations keep going when there is this scenario behind it?
Yes, this is a problem. By the way, only lately, several hours ago, our soldiers in Gaza found six corpses of those who were abducted, and we thought that they are alive, but it seems that they are not alive. As I said, six corpses were brought to Israel by our army from Gaza.
Ese precisamente, yes. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, the question is of the one who asked is very right. How comes that there is a dialogue with Hamas while Hamas is still holding our abducted children, women, and men in Gaza? Well, my point of view, this is my point of view, that this is exactly the problem, because Hamas does not really want to release the abducted people, because this is the ultimate shield of Sinwar, who is today the head of the arm department of Hamas, the military department of Hamas, and the political one of Hamas. This is an example which says no difference between the military wing and the political wing.
Pues dice que con respecto a la pregunta, ese es el punto de vista correcto y el problema, porque Hamas no quiere liberar a los secuestrados, porque es el último escudo de Sinwar, la cabeza del brazo armado y político de Hamas. es un ejemplo de que no hay diferencia entre la parte militar y política de Hamas. Dice que precisamente hace algunas horas, hablando de estos secuestrados, los soldados en la Franja de Gaza encontraron 6 cuerpos de esas personas que ellos creían vivos y no lo están, y ya fueron llevados a Israel. Así que él cree que la pregunta es la correcta, y ese es el problema, porque Hamas no quiere liberar a los secuestrados.
Ana, ¿el qué piensa de la proporcionalidad con que ha respondido Israel al cruel y condenable ataque del 7 de octubre?
What is your opinion in terms of the proportionality in which Israel has responded towards, of course, that horrendous attack October 6th? But what is your opinion about how Israel has responded in terms of numbers of people killed?
First of all, I want to say that I am really sorry if there was, and it was, there were many citizens, Gazian citizens, that were killed. But unfortunately, this happens in times of war of every country, and the this is one thing. The second thing is that it was already proven and already was on papers, on media, that the numbers the Hamas gives are not the right numbers. It is impossible to believe to what Hamas said how many citizens were killed. There is a huge exaggeration in the numbers of the civilians that were killed. Although I am saying it very openly and frankly, it's a pity. I think that nobody wanted that there will be a large number of civilian casualties. Unfortunately, it happens in time of war. The civilian population was not a target. Again, they were not a target. And by the way, we had not a few our soldiers that were killed by our military activity, because they were in places or in buildings that were also the terrorists of Hamas. But again, the civilian population were not a target. If you will look at other fightings and other wars in today wars in the Middle East, the war between of Assad, the ruler of Syria, with those who were against him, the war today between the Yemenite and the others, the war everywhere was with a lot, unfortunately, of civilians that were killed. Unfortunately.
Let me translate that really quickly, please.
Targeted them, please.
Thank you. Dice que lamenta mucho la muerte de ciudadanos civiles en la Franja de Gaza. Dice que eso ocurre en los tiempos de guerra. Y segundo, ya se probó, según él, en los medios, que el número que da Hamas no es correcto. Es imposible de creer cuántos ciudadanos han sido asesinados y cuántos civiles han muerto en esta guerra. Para él es una exageración este número de civiles muertos en la Franja de Gaza, aunque de manera abierta y franca dice que es una lástima que estos civiles mueran, pero repite que es algo que ocurre en tiempos de guerra. Los civiles no eran el objetivo del ejército de Israel. De hecho, muchos soldados israelíes fueron asesinados también haciendo actividades militares en diferentes lugares y edificios que tenían Hamas como base terrorista. Y dice que esto ocurre en otras guerras similares en Medio Oriente, en Siria, con Yemen y los demás. Cualquier guerra como esta tiene desafortunadamente muertes de civiles.
En su experiencia como jefe de inteligencia, ¿cómo evalúa los asesinatos de los líderes de Hezbollah y de Hamas en territorios de terceros? ¿Sí fue sabia esta decisión?
In your experience, how do you value the killing of Hezbollah and Hamas members in territory and third territories. Do you think it was a wise decision to do that outside of Israel, outside of Hamas, in a third country?
Well, you are touching here a very delicate issue. The right question, in my point of view, is: does the killings of heads of terrorist organization brings good results or bad results? This is the real issue, in my point of view, because we have examples on which heads of terrorist organization were killed abroad, not in Gaza and not in Beirut, and the result was that their organization was demolished, does not exist anymore. At the same time, we had also examples in which those were killed and the others who came in their place were much more radical. So in my point of view, the issue would be analyzed to the, not as a rule, but every case to be analyzed before execution, or and not only after execution. But if you are expecting me to give a general answer about killing heads of organization within Israeli, not Israeli borders, but in Gaza or in West Bank or in Lebanon or everywhere, anywhere else. This is not a new thing. This phenomenon was already several years, not only in Gaza and not only in Lebanon. The bottom line, in my point of view, is that the bosses or the echelon of the commanders of terror organizations should be dealt very radically, which means should be killed. Or, in another basis, if the country has the ability, not the Israeli government, of course, should be arrested because they are leading terror activity. This is not only terror as we know. What happened in Israel in the 7th of October...
Let me translate that really quickly, please. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Please.
Dice que estamos tocando acá un tema delicado y que para él la pregunta correcta sería si el asesinato de estas cabezas de los grupos terroristas traen buenos resultados o malos resultados. Para él ese es el asunto o el punto final en todo esto, porque hay ejemplos de cuando se asesinan las cabezas de estos grupos terroristas en el extranjero y no se lleva a cabo en la Franja de Gaza o en Beirut, y el resultado es que se desmantela esa organización y deja de existir. Pero hay ejemplos también de esos asesinatos a esos líderes de los grupos terroristas cuando el que asume después son mucho más radicales y ahí no es tan efectivo. Entonces dice que hay que analizar, no como una regla, sino que hay que analizar caso por caso antes de realizar cualquier ejecución en suelo extranjero. Él dice que pues esto no es algo nuevo, esto de asesinar a estas cabezas en Gaza, en Cisjordania, en Líbano o incluso en suelo extranjero siempre ocurre, ha venido ocurriendo hace años, y el fondo para él, como diría, es analizar si estos comandantes que van a asumir van a ser peor y no van a solucionar ni acabar con esa organización terrorista. Para él, él está de acuerdo si esta organización de terror pues acaba.
Un portavoz de la Guardia Revolucionaria de Irán ha dicho que la represalia a los ataques, a estos ataques selectivos, puede ser larga. ¿Cómo se prepara Israel para la guerra total contra Irán, Hezbollah, y cuánto podría durar esa alerta máxima?
From Iran, they have said that the retaliation from these attacks could be very severe. How has Israel prepared or is preparing for a full war with Iran and in the region?
Well, My point of view, and if I'm not mistaken, it's also point of view of others, including senior officers in the government, and not only in the government, also in the intelligence community, is that the regional war will come, if we want it or if we don't want it. But it will come, because what we are facing is a country, Iran, organization which is Hezbollah, and organization which is Hamas. All these three, two organizations and war state, are declaring, and it's written in their national national security point of view, that the state of Israel should be liquidated. I'm saying it again. They are declaring and saying and writing that the state of Israel should be liquidated. Now, if this country, Iran, and their offshoots, like Hezbollah and others, their target is to liquidate Iran, then in my point of view, first of all, we have to prepare for it. In my point of view, even if the time, the right time will come to initiate it, because no one can agree that his citizens will be in a danger of liquidation. And this is the issue. These three factors that I said, saying, writing, declaring, that they want the liquidation of the state of Israel.
Well, thank you so much for your time in W Radio. It's been a pleasure having you today in our show, Mr. Mizrahi.
Thank you.
Bueno, lo que él piensa, otros oficiales en el gobierno piensan, y también de inteligencia, es que esta guerra regional va a llegar, así la quieran o no, porque están enfrentando a un país que es Irán, están enfrentando dos organizaciones que son Hezbollah y Hamas, y pues todo esto eventualmente va a terminar en una guerra, porque ellos están amenazando al Estado de Israel, diciendo por voz, por escrito y declarando que quieren acabar con el Estado de Israel, quieren liquidarlo. Así que Irán, Hezbollah y otros quieren liquidar Israel, ellos deben prepararse porque pues sus ciudadanos están bajo amenaza. Así que esa es su opinión y la de otros oficiales, que esto va a llegar tarde o temprano.